You are now listening to the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele.
What's good? This is indeed the Calcio Corner podcast, where we cover all corners of Italian football and more. My name is Raffaele. I thank you for taking the time to listen to this, the 79th episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. Please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Be sure to give me a follow on Twitter. My account is at Italiano Calcio. Check the link in my Twitter bio for all the links that you need to support and listen to my podcast. So it's been quite some time, quite a few months, since I have put out an episode of the Calcio Corner podcast, and I apologize for the long layoff. I think the last one I put out was in early August to preview this Serie A season, and here we are now in mid-March, and I'm finally getting back to podcasting, but excited to be putting this one out there. And we'll start off this 79th episode of the podcast by talking about the recent action in Serie A. We're heading into the March international break, a couple of games for Italy coming up, some Euro qualifiers, as Italy will hopefully qualify and look to defend their Euro title that they won in 2021, winning Euro 2020. But like I said, we'll start off with the action in Serie A, and it was a massive weekend to close out the action prior to the international break. All weekend, some really good matchups, but particularly Sunday, it was like a super Sunday in Serie A. We had two big derby matches, Lazio-Roma, Inter-Juventus, and I'll start off with that Lazio-Roma game because for me, the big winner this weekend has to hands down be Lazio. We are in the mix of a massively close and massively tight battle for the top four to see who finishes in the top four along with Napoli. Obviously, Napoli are well on their way to winning the Scudetto and finishing in first place. But, you know, who finishes second, third, and fourth? It's really up in the air. It seems like none of these teams between Lazio, Roma, Milan, Inter, Atalanta, even Juve, I'll talk about that in a little bit, are kind of throwing their name in the race. It seems like none of them really want to grasp this a hold of one of those, you know, places two through four. But for me, Lazio really emerged as the big winners in this game, in this weekend, not only because they obviously beat Roma in the Derby delle Capitale, completing the clean sweep in the Derby, beating Roma both times this season. So that's massive for Lazio and Lazio fans. Anytime Lazio obviously beat Roma, it's massive. But the fact that they got 3 points, Roma got 0 points, Milan got 0 points, and Inter got 0 points this weekend, that gives Lazio a nice little, you know, boost in finishing in the top four. But like I said, it's still oh so close. But it was a massive weekend for Lazio. They move up to second place. They have 52 points now. Lazio have a 2-point lead over Inter, who are in third. They have a 4-point lead over Milan, who are in fourth. And Roma, just outside the top four, Lazio now have a 5-point lead over them. So, you know, again, it is very close, as I said, in the top four. But Lazio do give themselves a 5-point cushion over Roma from falling out of the top four and finishing inside Champions League qualification. Long way to go in the season, but, you know, massive weekend for Lazio with all the way the results kind of broke in their favor. And like I said, beating their big rivals, Roma, that game, you know, really that first half, the second half, the tension definitely cooled off. But that first half, those first 45 minutes of that Lazio-Roma game were some of the most intense 45 minutes that I could recall in some time in this big rivalry. Certainly, there's been a lot of fiery matchups. It's always fire. It's always, you know, action-packed and a lot of tension and a lot of players getting in their face and chippy fouls and whatnot. But those first 45 minutes, it was really aggressive. Ibanez got sent off after getting two silly yellow cards for Roma, and Roma had to play the majority of the game down a man. And it kind of, you know, kind of flipped the balance of this game, certainly, and changed it. Maybe took a little excitement out of the game in the sense that you kind of never felt that Roma were going to be able to put their best foot forward and really, you know, press the acceleration button and try to challenge Lazio more. But, you know, Ibanez just kind of has this horrible track record against Lazio in these big derby games. I believe it was last season where he scored an own goal against Lazio, and maybe it was the same game or was the other game against Lazio that season. I can't recall where he made a really silly mistake defensively and gifted Lazio a goal. And now here he gets a red card, you know, in the 32nd minute, 30 minutes into the game, he's being sent off. So Ibanez just has this horrible track record. He's like a jinx against Lazio. And, you know, assuming he's on the team next year, you would like to think that maybe Roma would consider not starting him against Lazio because he just does not seem to fare well against the city rivals. But again, big weekend for Lazio. They did this without Ciro Immobile. He does not start. He does not even come off the bench for Lazio. It was Mattia Zaccagni who was the goal scorer. He's had an unbelievable season for Lazio. One of his best seasons of his career. Interestingly enough, he was not named to Roberto Mancini's Italy team. As I said, there is an international break, and a lot of people thought maybe he would get that call up to the national team. Certainly, you know, if he was included, no one would be batting an eye at it. Everyone would kind of expect him to be on that team. I think in some ways it was almost more surprising to perhaps see him not be included on that team. Now, the interesting side note to that is that in the Juve game this weekend, Chiesa came on as a second half sub, and I think only 20 minutes into his appearance in the game, he had to come off with an injury. He kind of limped off the field. At the time I'm recording this, I don't know the extent to his injury, and I don't know if that injury will make Chiesa be left off the national team. He was called up to the team, so if for some reason Chiesa is knocked off the national team, isn't able to go because of that injury he picked up in the game against Inter, you know, maybe then Zaccagni ends up getting the call up to the national team, which, you know, for Zaccagni, I'm sure he'll be, you know, hoping that maybe is the case, but not necessarily, you know, jumping for joy, obviously, at the expense of seeing Chiesa suffer an injury. But so it's something to just keep an eye on. Maybe Zaccagni actually in the end does get that call up, but he scored that goal for Lazio to sink Roma, like I said, for a second time this season, Lazio edging their rivals Roma. So big weekend for them. The other team that had a big weekend, again, it was the other big matchup this round, the Derby d'Italia, Inter hosting Juventus, and Inter succumbing to their rivals once again in Serie A. Obviously, you know, Inter have had success against Juve this season in the Italian Super Cup and whatnot, so it's not like, you know, it's been all Juve, but in terms of Serie A, Juventus have now taken both games this season from Inter, beating them 2-0 in the first leg, 1-0 this leg, so keeping Inter off the score sheet in both of the Serie A games. It was kind of a weird goal that Filip Kostic scored. Denzel Dumfries, I'm not sure what he was doing. He totally was in the view line of Onana and completely blinded Onana. When, yeah, if you haven't seen the goal, you actually see the one that Kostic scored. It was really just, you know, it was a nice strike by Kostic. But when I first saw it go in, I'm like, how in God's good name did that go in? Like, no one reacted. But then you kind of realize that Dumfries was totally blinding Onana and really did nothing in that play to help Inter and really kind of handcuffed Onana and it led to that goal. And, you know, look, Juventus 1-0 lead, that to Max Allegri, that's like, you know, magic for him. He loves that 1-0 lead. He has no problem playing with the 1-0 lead. He has no problem having his team just absolutely bunker down and defend. And that's what, you know, Juventus did for most of that game. You know, Bremer, Danilo, and Federico Gatti got the start for Juventus. Those three in that back line did an outstanding job. They played very compact, very tight. They did not really break down. They did not, you know, leave a lot of space and allow for a lot of threatening chances from Inter. Most of Inter's chances were maybe coming on set pieces, corner kicks, things like that, or you know, any shots from distance. But defensively, you know, look, if you said pick a team that has to defend the 1-0 lead, you know, Napoli would certainly be on my short list, but Juventus would be right there as well. With those back three, the way they could bunker down and their wing backs and the way that their midfield plays. So give Juventus credit. They got a big win, and it's making that Champions League race even more interesting. Like I said, it is very close and tight. Keep in mind, Juventus, yes, they have a couple teams they would have to leapfrog. Roma are in fifth place, a good Atalanta side, who seems to be hitting a little bit of a stride. They got a second win in a row in Serie A. They're in sixth place, so they would have to leapfrog two really good teams. But Juventus are only 7 points behind Milan for fourth place. Now, when Juventus were handed that 15-point deduction a couple weeks back, you know, I said it, as did many people, that any hope of finishing in top four for Juventus absolutely died at that moment. There was no shot they would get back into the top four race. And do I think they will still finish in the top four? No, I still see them finishing outside the top four, but I got to give Allegri credit. I got to give those Juventus players credit. They have absolutely made this way more closer than I ever would have expected it to be. Now, part of that is not necessarily Juventus's credit to the credit of Juventus. Like I said, Inter have been slipping up a little bit more than I think many of us expected. Milan have been slipping up a little bit more than we have expected. Lazio, you could say, are overachieving. Roma are kind of more or less perhaps where most of us expected them to be. Same thing with Atalanta. But the big thing is the two Milan clubs underachieving a bit have allowed Juventus to creep back into this Champions League race. Again, I still don't see them getting there. I even though the gap is not huge, 7 points between them and Milan, but the fact that they would have to jump a Milan team, a Roma, and Atalanta, all good teams that at any moment could kind of catch their stride and go on a nice little run and really just kind of negate any success that Juventus are having. So I still see Juventus finishing outside the top four. But if you're a Juventus fan, certainly this season has been a bag of emotions, right? A mix of emotions, because in some ways, it's a massive disappointment. You were hoping to challenge for the Scudetto. You're nowhere near that. You were expecting, worst case, to definitely finish top four. And that is really, you know, as I said, very much in the balance. But at the same time, you got to appreciate the fight that this team is showing, that they didn't just kind of fold up shop it and just kind of collapse it and feel sorry for themselves after being handed that 15-point deduction. So in some ways, Juventus have shown a lot of fight, a lot of grit, and a lot of character, kind of, if you will, that we expected to see from a Juventus team this season. But, you know, if they do get those 15 points back, which is obviously a possibility, they would be in second place, and they would be very much, in my opinion, one of the favorites to finish in the top four. I would definitely see them finishing in the top four that case. But assuming they don't get the points back that they were deducted, I do see them finishing still outside the top four. But again, massive credit to Allegri and those players for making this close. Again, going to the San Siro, beating a good Inter side. I know Inter aren't in the greatest form right now, but you still took care of business. You played the type of game that Allegri wants to play, and they did a good job. Inter, they're just losing way too many games this season. Way too many games for this Nerazzurri side, and for a team with so much talent that they have. A lot of talk about, you know, Simone Inzaghi's job being under fire, and who knows if he'll come back this season. I don't think Inter will be making a coaching change at all during the season. You know, Inzaghi has Inter in the Champions League quarterfinals, which we'll talk about in a little bit. So I don't see Inter making a change at all middle of the season. But, you know, it will be very much in the air whether or not he comes back next season. But of course, you know, it's not fair to say that just quite yet, because what if they do go on and reach the Champions League semifinals, or even reach the Champions League final, or even obviously win the Champions League? So there's still a lot unwritten story in this event, in this Inter season, that Inzaghi could really salvage thing. I still do think Inter will finish in the top four and qualify for the Champions League again next season, which is certainly one of their main missions. Again, they're very much alive in the Champions League. They have a somewhat favorable draw against a good Benfica side in the quarterfinals. So the story of Inzaghi at Inter this season is still totally not finished, is not a done story. But certainly there's pressure mounting on Inzaghi, there's pressure mounting and building on this Inter side. I think this international break comes at a good time for Inter. You know, the respective players that got called up to their national teams will go their own separate ways, clear their minds, stop thinking about the club football for a while, and think about, you know, playing with their national team and kind of get a little fresh breath of fresh air, if you will. So I think this comes at a nice time for Inter, and we'll see if, you know, after the break, if they're able to kind of come back, you know, get 3 points and kind of get themselves back on track. But a disappointing performance from them against Juventus. Other good game, Napoli-Torino on paper. I mean, look, obviously we know Napoli are in a whole class of their own, not just in Serie A, but even in Europe. You know, they're in that upper echelon, top two, top three teams in all of Europe this season. But I did think Torino, who have been playing good, who are a good solid side, who are capable of putting together a really good result against any team in Italy, in my opinion, and the game was at home in Turin, I thought they would kind of have a better showing against Napoli. But in the end, Napoli absolutely mopped them 4-0. Napoli got off to that early lead in the 9th minute by Victor Osimhen, who just is having an unbelievable season, over 20 goals in Serie A for him. Well on his way to winning the Capocannonieri, and well on his way to having one of the most memorable seasons for any Napoli player, perhaps. Not the most memorable, but one of the most memorable seasons for any Napoli player. And after Napoli got that goal, Torino were really putting pressure on Napoli and you know, had a few close chances and perhaps were a little unlucky not to level the score at 1-1. But then Torino conceded a penalty, Cavara converts it, and then after that, it was just the floodgates opened up and Napoli took over control, as they just always seem to do, and won this game 4-0. Again, they're well on their way to winning the Scudetto. They're going to keep their head level, though. You know, Spalletti's done a great job with that and with his team this season of keeping them leveled and not letting their head get too big and feel like they're just, because even though they are running away with the Scudetto, he doesn't want his players to think that. So he's keeping them level-headed, but they also, you know, certainly could put a lot of focus and emphasis onto that Champions League quarterfinal matchup against Milan. That'll be really exciting to watch, but Napoli absolutely taking care of business. Fiorentina beat Lecce 1-0 at home. For Fiorentina, this is 4 wins in a row. And they kind of seem to be, again, they're hitting their stride right now under Italiano. They've had an up and down season and very much are on one of those ups right now. And I tweeted it out at the moment. The way Fiorentina are playing right now, they just really need a clinical goal scorer, a really legitimate threat in front of goal. You know, they have guys like Nico Gonzalez or Cabral who will, contribute some goals and some other guys. But they really need that clinical goal scorer, that clinical striker. They were hoping Luka Jovic would be that player when they brought him over from Real Madrid on loan, but that has not been the case. He scored a few goals, but he hasn't been a big threat for them. And I tweeted out, I said, if this Fiorentina side had Dusan Vlahovic, the Vlahovic that they had before they sold him to Juventus, like that Vlahovic who was in that type of form and just was an absolute menace in front of goal, you put him on this team, I said, I would not be shocked if Fiorentina were challenging for a top four spot if they had Vlahovic on this team, because I do think it's a very good team. I think there is some good talent throughout that team. They're well coached by Italiano. He has very clear thoughts of what he wants his team to do. He's just missing that striker. And with Vlahovic on this team and in the form he was in before he was sold to Juventus last season, last January, I think this team could be challenging for a top four spot. I mean, maybe I'm a little overhyping it, but that's just my personal opinion. I think they would be challenging for a top four spot. But again, they get a win 1-0 over Lecce. They're in 11th place, so they still haven't quite cracked the top 10 yet, the top half of the table, although they're leveled on points with Bologna, with Torino. Bologna's in 9th, Torino's in 10th, all tied at 37 points. But because of tiebreakers, Fiorentina are in 11th, but certainly heading in the right direction this season. Milan also suffered a tough loss this weekend, losing 3-1 to Udinese. That was a really crazy first half between Udinese and Milan. I said on Twitter at the time, I thought this was one of the best games we've seen from Udinese all season. It kind of looked like that early season Udinese. If you recall, I believe they drew their first game, lost their second game of the season, and then they won 6 in a row in Serie A. And this, the way they played against Milan this weekend, they looked like, you know, that Udinese side that won 6 in a row early in the season. And at the time, people were talking about, could they challenge for the top four? Obviously, they had a big drop off and just could not win games and way too many draws and some losses mixed in. But Udinese really clicked on all cylinders against Milan, handing the Rossoneri a tough loss. And, you know, as I mentioned before, with, you know, I think the international break coming at a good time for Inter, I would say the same thing for Milan. They catch their breath. They've been competing in the Champions League and Serie A, so on those two fronts, just like Inter. I know some of their players are still going to go play international football for their countries, but as a collective group, they get a little breather, they get a little break, so I think that's significant. In this game, though, one of the, I guess you could say, positives for Milan, although it's an individual accomplishment, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and deep into stoppage time in that first half, he scored a penalty, and he became, at that moment, the oldest goal scorer ever in Serie A. So, you know, I guess, you know, for Milan fans to kind of celebrate one of their, you know, favorite players over the past decade or so, it was a little bit of a bright spot for Rossoneri fans. But overall, a bad day for Milan. But, you know, like I said, in terms of how this was a great weekend for Lazio, I guess in some ways you could look at this if you're a Milan fan, if you're an Inter or Roma fan, you know, those other teams all lost, right? You all lost. So you didn't lose ground to anybody other than Lazio. You already lost ground to Napoli. That doesn't matter. Napoli are well out of reach. But, you know, yes, you have Juventus picking up a little ground. You have Atalanta who got a win on Friday. They beat Empoli 2-1, so they picked up some ground as well. But, you know, you didn't lose ground to Roma if you're Milan. You didn't lose ground to Inter. Inter could say the same thing. They didn't lose ground to Roma and Milan and you know, so on and so on. So not a horrible, horrible weekend if you're Roma, Milan, or Inter, but certainly not a great weekend. You could have taken advantage of the other teams dropping points. And, you know, even if you came away with a draw, something, even if it wasn't a win, it would have been a little bit of a better weekend. But, you know, those were some of the key moments and key games in this past weekend in Serie A. Some cool news in terms of the lower divisions. Catanzaro, team that plays in Serie C, Girone C. Serie C is the third division of Italian football, and it's broken up into three groups because it's just so many teams that kind of go by regions. And Group C is the lower, you know, the teams that kind of play in southern Italy, mostly from Campania down, but I believe there are some teams a little north of Campania, if I'm not mistaken. But they already wrapped up their group. They're the winners of their league with 5 games to spare. Their goal differential is plus 75 this season. They have absolutely routed the competition. Unbelievable story from them. So they'll be playing up in Serie B next season. So it'll be kind of cool to see, you know, how good or successful could they be a step up in Serie B. Also, Catania, if you remember them in Serie A some years ago. I don't remember the last season they spent up in Serie A. It has to be probably easily a decade or so since they've been in Serie A. They bankrupt. They fell all the way down to the bottom of the barrel of, you know, Italian football. They just earned promotion from Serie D, so they'll be playing in Serie C next season. So, you know, a couple of lower-level teams wrapping up their leagues and earning direct promotion up a level in Italian football. So pretty cool there. A couple of blowouts, right? I mean, Napoli dominating Serie A, those lower-level teams dominating. The race in Serie B is getting really tight. Frosinone looked like they were going to run away with the league, but they've been slipping up. Genoa are on their tail. Now, the top two teams in Serie B get automatic promotion to Serie A. So even if Frosinone dropped to second place, it wouldn't be the worst thing. But, you know, you certainly don't want to slip up too much and get dropped into that third place range where now you have to go through the promotion playoff, because that's a grueling task. But, you know, so, you know, just keeping you up to date on all of Italian football, even some of the news in the lower divisions. All right, now on to buy or sell to cover some of the storylines and rumors that have been dominating the Italian media and the world of football. Number one, buy or sell it. It's good news for Italian football that Milan and Napoli drew each other in the Champions League's quarterfinals. I will buy this one. You know, I guess at first hearing it, you may think, you know, not the greatest, right? In some ways, it would have been nice if all the Italian teams drew different opponents and that they didn't get matched up with one another. Or obviously, only two of them could, but if two of them didn't get drawn up with each other. But I'll look at it from a positive standpoint. It guarantees that one Italian team will reach the Champions League semifinals, which is great. Also, you know, look, let's be honest. If you're Milan, how well do you like their chances if they got drawn up against Manchester City or Bayern Munich or Real Madrid? Not saying they couldn't beat those teams over two legs, but they certainly would be massive underdogs. And now, look, they're going to be underdogs against Napoli, and I still think Napoli will beat Milan and advance through. But I my point, I guess, is you don't ever know what could happen. Again, like I said, Milan, maybe they would have pulled a miracle upset and beat Manchester City, but they probably would have lost, let's say, to just about anyone. Maybe they would have had their shots against Chelsea. Perhaps they could have had their shots against Benfica. But, you know, Napoli-Milan pairing up, it'll be a really fun quarterfinal matchup for those two teams. They also battle in early April when they come back from the international break. So those two teams are going to see each other a lot in the month of April. So that'll be really fun. But let's, again, one of those teams will reach the semifinals. And then the fact that Inter Benfica are also paired up on the same side of Napoli-Milan. If Inter could beat Benfica, which we know won't be easy, Benfica are a good, solid team. They've been impressive in the Champions League. They have, you know, they have good history in Champions League, in European competitions. They've had their success in the Europa League over the past years. They know how to handle these competitions, so it won't be an easy challenge. But at the same time, I do think Inter could get past Benfica. It's not the worst matchup that Inter could have got in the draw either. So if Inter are able to get past Benfica, we're going to have an all-Italian semifinals, which guarantees us one Italian team into the Champions League final, which hasn't been done since Juventus a couple of years back. So that would be really cool. But, you know, look, I'll look at this Champions League draw as a positive for Italian teams. Again, we're guaranteed one team in the semifinals. We have a good shot that one team could reach the finals. And perhaps that team is Napoli. In my opinion, I think anybody's opinion, if you said what team out of the three left, Inter, Milan, Napoli, which Italian team has the best chance of representing Italy in the Champions League finals, it would have to be Napoli. Which team would have the best shot of maybe lifting the Champions League trophy? It would have to be Napoli. So, yeah, I'll buy it. I don't think it's a bad draw, you know, seeing Milan and Napoli pair up and even having Inter on the same side of the bracket. I think for the Italian teams, this was a good draw. And it'll be really fun to see. It'll be a great competition, as always. And that kind of gets kicked off, I believe, the second week of April. So, you know, I'll buy it. Good draw for the Italian teams in the Champions League. All right, number two, buy or sell it. Sampdoria will avoid relegation this season. I will sell this one. So Sampdoria, they were able to move out of the basement of Serie A. They jumped up to 19th place with 15 points. They're 2 points ahead of Cremonese for last place. They did get a massive win this weekend against Verona, against a team that's also currently in the relegation zone. But, you know, look, Sampdoria are still 9 points clear of getting out of the relegation zone, 9 points behind Spezia. Then you have Salernitana, who are at 27 points, so they're 12 points behind Salernitana. They would still have to leapfrog not only Verona, but also, you know, again, get ahead of Spezia, who are just outside the relegation zone. Was it a big win for Sampdoria beating Verona? Of course. They need every single point they could get from this point on. And quite frankly, they needed 3 points from these games. They can't be, you know, giving away any points, really, if they want any hope. But no, I'm selling it. I don't see them getting out of the relegation zone. They've put up some good fights. Stankovic has done a pretty good job. I don't want to say he's done a really good job with this team. They're a bad team. They're just not that good of a team. You know, look, they remember the weekend before they fell behind 2-0 to Juventus quickly. They could have easily folded, feeling sorry for themselves, but they battled back. They tied at 2-2. They ended up losing 4-2. But, you know, if they could have snagged a point from Juventus, that would have been massive. There were some other games that they had the lead in, or, you know, conceded late goals that cost them a win and they had to settle for a draw, or they were looking like they were going to get a draw and they ended up losing the game. So all those points that they kind of gave up or lost, I know it happens to a bunch of teams throughout the season, but Sampdoria have left way too many on the table, in my opinion, and I just don't see them getting out of this. I think it's too big of a massive hole. It'll kind of be unfortunate to see a team like Sampdoria go down. It was, I don't remember how many years ago, but fairly recent, that they were just in Serie B, so it's not like this is totally unfamiliar to their fans in terms of recent memory. And as I mentioned before, Genoa are currently in second place in Serie B and charging and are definitely aiming for that automatic promotion to Serie A. So we may be getting them back up, but then their rivals Sampdoria are likely heading down to Serie B. So, you know, we won't get that Derby della Laterna next season, assuming Genoa, you know, take care of business and do earn that promotion up to Serie A, because I just don't see Sampdoria saving their season. They'd have to go on a miraculous run. Now, look, if you ask me, you know, when Salernitana were floundering in the relegation zone last season, if they would stay up in Serie A, I would have said no shot either. And then Davide Nicola came in and absolutely worked magic, and Salernitana defied the odds and stayed up. And it looks like they'll do the same thing again this season and stay up in Serie A. But this will be certainly a much more comfortable, although they're not totally out of the water, but this will be a much more comfortable salvation for Salernitana compared to last season. So, look, crazier things have happened, but I just don't see it. I think too big of a gap for Sampdoria. They haven't been playing that good. They haven't been horrible of late, but they haven't been playing that good. But, I mean, look, these 3 points against Verona do help them in a big way and do give some glimmer of hope and some optimism for the fans. But when it's all said and done, I see Sampdoria definitely getting relegated, along with, I would expect Verona to head down as they're currently in the relegation zone, as will Cremonese. I don't see that bottom three changing at all. I think the teams in that relegation zone this season, currently in the standings, will be the three teams that will be relegated this season in Serie A. So yeah, I definitely sell this one. I don't see Sampdoria avoiding relegation at all. So that will do it for the 79th episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it. Once again, please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Feel free to leave a rating and comment. That'd be greatly appreciated to help us grow. Feel free to spread the word of the Calcio Corner podcast to any friends or family members that you think would enjoy a Calcio-centric podcast. And until next time, guys, ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele. If you've enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.